Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk again about the Kingdom of God. And we've been talking in a series that's heard on different networks and this network. And we've been talking about shift. And there's a lot of movements out there. There's even a movement called the Shift Movement. And we'll eventually talk about some of these things and exactly what they mean. But understanding shift is really important because shift is mentioned all the time in the Bible. Although, if you did a word search in the Bible, you would never find the word shift. You would find other words there that mean the same thing as shift. And we've talked about that, you know, like the word charity is never found anywhere in the Old Testament. It's just not in there in the King James Bible. But you see words like free will offering and gift and, you know, sacrifice, and all those things have to do with charity. Charity is sacrifice. Charity is a free will offering by its nature. You also see a lot of talk about forced offerings in the Bible. And we call those things like taxes. Taxes are forced offerings, offerings that you have to give up by force. Now, you know, a lot of people think that governments are robbing people because of the fact that they take so much. And sometimes because they squander what they take. They, you know, they abuse their power to tax. Well, the fact is, if they have the power to tax, then they have the right to decide how to tax and what to tax and how much to tax. And if you live in a country that taxes, which is just about every country in the world, you live in a government that does not depend upon charity. And that's usually your choice or your parents' choice, or whoever it was that moved you there and whoever gave the government the power to choose for you what you are going to contribute to government. The power of choice has been given to somebody else, and they have power over you. And they have the power to choose for you what you're going to give this week. Now, if you go to church, you could choose to give to church, and church could take care of the widows and orphans in what was called in the New Testament pure religion. What was called in the Old Testament the government of God, because the government of God operated by free will offerings, by charity, by faith, hope, and charity. That's how it operated. And it operated from generation to generation. So the power of choice was in the hand of every individual family. That's why they say that the kingdom of God is from generation to generation, because families are from generation to generation. Somebody just asked this week about Corporation Souls on the Living Network, which everybody should be a part of, the Living Network. And the real Living Network is a network of congregations of people who come together with the character and purpose of Christ, in the name of Christ. But anyway, they asked a question about Corporation Souls. And we explained, and they quoted Peter Kershaw. They didn't say they were quoting Peter Kershaw, but I know they were quoting Peter Kershaw because I've known Peter Kershaw for many, many years. I haven't talked to him lately, but years ago, he used to call me up. We'd talk for hours. And I explained to him how the church works. And he had an understanding how the church didn't work. And one of the things he said, corporation souls are not the way the church operates. But he didn't want to go as far, at least at that time, he didn't want to go as far as I showed him the church did work, which was the way Christ said it. Another topic that came up is, what if the governments of the world don't recognize the church is right to form itself according to the ways of Christ? And the answer to that is really simple. We get crucified. We get persecuted. But the decision to do it the way Christ said to do it isn't ours. It was Christ's. Christ told us how to do it. And unfortunately, people read the Bible and they miss it. Why? Sometimes because they don't understand the language that the Bible was written in. And when you translate it, you can be deceived because somebody can put an emphasis on this word or an emphasis on that word, or they can translate a word four or five different ways. And I mean, like, there's half a dozen different words that are translated into the word power. And so you don't necessarily understand that word power. I mean, even if you looked up the word power in the dictionary, there'd be almost a dozen definitions in an unabridged dictionary as to what the word power means. You know, when Jesus said all power was given unto him, what was he talking about? It's Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That word power that he uses is the same word power that you see in Romans 13. That everyone remains subject to the higher power. So the higher power would be Christ, higher than any other power. Now, what is that power? What does that mean? What does that word mean when he says power? All power has been given to me. Well, if you look it up just in the concordance, it will tell you that it means the power of choice, liberty of doing as one pleases. And I've written a whole book, which you can download for free. You don't have to register. You don't have to send me money. You don't have to do anything. You can just go to our website and download the book for free. And it's called The Higher Liberty, which is the higher power. The higher power to choose. The power of choice. That's what the word means. All power to choose is given to God, to Christ, to Jesus. All power is given to him. Now, what did he do with it? He returned every man to his family and every man to his possessions and said that if you believe in me, you have the power of choice. Now you can take your possessions and you can contribute to the church, and the church will take care of the widows and orphans and needy of your society, including you if you have a need. That would mean casting your bread upon the waters on a regular basis so that the ministers that you choose to give to would have the ability to take care of the needy of your society. That's religion. That was the definition of religion according to James. It's according to the Bouvier's Dictionary 200 years ago at the time of the writing of the Constitution. Now, if you look it up today in a dictionary, it will say religion is what you think about God. And if you go and ask your pastor or your minister down at your local church what he thinks religion is, and it's what you believe about God. Why is he going to tell you that? Because he's not in the business of taking care of the widows and orphans and needy of his congregation. He's got somebody else who exercises authority one over the other to do that. Because things shifted, which is the topic of this series. How did things shift? How did all power go from God to government? Well, that was you. You gave it to government. You've been giving power to government. God gave you the power of choice, and you gave the power of choice to government. And he said, you now have the power to take away from my neighbor so that you can provide me with benefits. And I'm going to try to elect the guy who's going to give me the most benefits. That's democracy, which is why most American forefathers were in opposition to democracy. That's why democracy was defined as a bad, evil form of government in 1927 by the United States Army Field Manual. But there was a shift, a change in our thinking. And now we think democracy is good, along with Karl Marx, who thinks democracy is wonderful. Because democracy leads to socialism, and socialism leads to communism. At least that's what he thought. What's happening now is people are feeling the sting of their shift and their error. And they don't like it. And they want to rebel against it. Resist it. And that's not the answer. The R word, resistance, is not the answer. There's another R word that is the answer. And that R word is repentance. You got to change your mind. Change your thinking. Change the way you see things. But how do you know how to change the way you see things? Well, you don't know. You think you know. And you go to your tree of knowledge. You study and you get all this knowledge in your head. And you go to your tree of knowledge up there between your ears. And you say, I'm going to change my thinking this way or that way. But how do you know that's right? You need the Holy Spirit to guide you. And we talked about that in earlier shows, what the Holy Spirit is. You know, God put an angel, a messenger, to go out before Israel. And you had to follow that messenger. And Christ put the Holy Spirit, sent us the Comforter. And we were supposed to follow that Holy Spirit. Not following the Holy Spirit is the only sin you can never be forgiven of as long as you don't follow the Holy Spirit. So that when he says he died that you might be saved, he died that you might be a follower of the Holy Spirit. The problem is there's a lot of other spirits out there who ain't so holy. That's the problem. They're not so holy. And they have been deceiving you. They are in the business of deceiving you. They've been deceiving you since the garden. And so God sends prophets to tell you, you're being deceived. And you killed the prophets. Or at least many have now. Some of you might be on the verge of repentance. See that there's a problem in the world. And we started in the last show. And we didn't get finished, so I said I would talk about it in this show again. And I'd come across Naomi Wolf's End of America, a letter of warning to the young patriot. They included these 10 steps of tyranny. And the first one was to invoke terrifying internal and external enemies. Well, of course, your fire and brimstone preacher also tries to invoke terror. You know, be afraid of hell. Be afraid of damnation. You know, be afraid of invasion of Muslims. Be afraid of terrorists. Terrorists, terrorists. There was somebody who put together a video of all these guys who were candidates for presidents a few years ago. And they just put a series of all the time that they mentioned terrorists. That was the key word after 9/11. Terrorist this, terrorist, 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 terrorist. And it was all these guys just saying it, saying it, saying it. And that's what they're doing. You know, they're trying to, you know, I was just astounded when I saw 911 and believed that, you know, I mean, the first news is the planes crashed into the building and knocked them down into their footprint. And that was the first reaction. And, oh, yeah, that's what happened because you see it there on the news. But then some people have been looking into it a little more deep, with a little more depth, and they're coming to other conclusions. But the point is that people stopped flying at that time. They were afraid to fly. And I thought, like, why? I mean, there are thousands of jets going off every day. You're more likely to get killed on the highway than by a terrorist. And you go out on the highway, you don't hide in your house all day long. What's the deal? But they had no perspective because all they had was fear. Fear takes away perspective. Fear puts you in a place. And you see everything from that place of fear. You know, when we were in the garden with God, we walked with God. We moved about the garden with God. We moved about this planet, to tell you the truth, with God. And we walked with God, like Enoch walked with God. And he was transformed so that he could walk with God. He was not put in a place of fear. And so Naomi Wolf is right. That's what they want to do, is create fear. And they brought about the Domestic Anti-Terrorist Act. They brought about the U.S. Patriot Act. All because you were in a place of fear. So don't be in a place of fear. But don't even be in a place of fear when it comes to seeking God. Seeking the truth. Walk with it. Walk with what you see. Don't lock yourself into your system of beliefs. What happens is that we create this system of beliefs based on what we do know, based on the knowledge. We always have to hang our knowledge of the truth on things, because we're not walking in the spirit, we're walking in the world of things. So we have icons and statues and crucifixes and people. People are icons. You know, it could be the Pope, it could be Billy Graham, it could be Martin Luther King. You know, depending on, you know, wherever you're coming from, you're going to hold up an icon. You know, Mao Zedong, icon. And you believe and you hang your belief on those individuals. That's worship. That's idolatry. Even if you just draw a picture of Christ in your own mind, what you think Christ is, and then you worship that picture in your mind of Christ, your impression of Christ, your mental projection of Christ, that's idolatry. You want to always be seeking Christ in the moment. Never hang on to an image of Christ that you have. And I say that, but I'm not going to make you do it, because the fact is a lot of you are out there drowning in the real world. You know, you've got families, you got jobs, you're trying to make ends meet, you're trying to do right by your neighbor, and I mean, it's a little overwhelming. And so we have this tendency to kind of create religions and images in our religions, and eschatologies that we worship, and man-made doctrines that we worship, and ideas that we worship. In other words, we cling to those ideas. And I understand you do that. And sometimes it takes a little while to wean you off of that. As a matter of fact, it takes a lot of time sometimes to wean you off of that. But the point is that you have to walk with God in the moment, every day, in the spirit. You are constantly going to be slipping into the world of flesh and the devil that's going to draw your attention off this way, and you're going to neglect that Holy Spirit. But God is patient, but he will not strive with you forever. So you have to constantly be turning back. Second thing that she mentions is the creation of a gulag, and she mentions like Guantanamo Bay, but the reality is every prison in the United States, which we have more of than almost any other country per capita, is part of a gulag. As a matter of fact, the whole nation to some degree is a gulag of the mind, because it keeps you in control of somebody else by the control of your thinking. I mean, one of the most powerful walls in the modern day gulag is your TV, because it takes your mind into that box and feeds your mind ideas and images that keep you, well, one thing it keeps you is afraid. It keeps you thinking that you know the answer already. You know, like God says, no one is more hopelessly enslaved than those that believe that they are already free. I suppose that would work with those who believe that they're already saved. So it would be a very important part of imprisoning your mind to make you think you're already saved, because back in 1962, you said the magic words. Well, maybe you were lying in 1962, and you were lying to yourself and everybody else around you, and you didn't really. You know, that's the thing. It's not about one moment changing your thinking. It's about walking with God in the Spirit daily, doing what God would have of you daily. So anyway, other things that are mentioned is develop a thug caste, you know, a police force that oppresses you. And a lot of people want to blame the police. I mean, I heard some statistics recently that somebody was passing around the idea that somebody had done a study. It wasn't a study. But their conclusion was that every 28 hours, a black man is killed by a policeman. Not true. Actually, what they said was, every 28 hours, an unarmed black man is killed by a policeman. And that's not true. One thing, the study wasn't a study. It was just a guy, you know, collecting some data. And the second thing, he was including both armed and unarmed. And a minority of them were unarmed if you wanted to count only a gun as being armed. I mean, one of the guys in the statistics was actually chewing a homeless man's face off with his own teeth and acting like some kind of zombie animal crazed thing on drugs, thinking that what he was doing was a good thing, I guess, in his imagination, in the prison of his own mind. And he got shot. You know, I wouldn't necessarily want to grab and wrestle with a guy myself. You know, he's eating somebody's face right there in front of you. So anyway, and then several other, quite a few others, they were in cars charging the police officers in their car, trying to run over their car. Well, you can say that, he was unarmed. I mean, he's driving a 2,000-pound vehicle at you with the intention of running you over, and so he gets shot. Poor unarmed man. Did you know that every hour, 6 policemen are attacked by people, assaulted by people? Policemen are assaulted. 6 of them every hour. Did you know that almost every other day, a policeman is shot and killed, or killed? I suppose some of them are stabbed, but at least they're killed in the line of duty. You know, one of those statistics that they used to come up with that statistic of every 28 hours, and some of those black men are being killed by black police officers, has nothing to do with race. The fact is, most black people are killed by other black people because a lot of the black people live in socialist ghettos where there's a rampant crime. It doesn't mean that black people are criminals. It means that poverty breeds crime. And socialism breeds crime. It always has. Go get your statistics on that. I mean, what was the gulag and the road of bones? That was the result of socialism turned communism. Why? Because somebody gave power to the government, and power corrupts. You see, back to that thing. But all power should be given to God. How do you give all power to God? Is that you follow His Holy Spirit and do what His Holy Spirit is telling you. Instead of giving power to men to covet your neighbor's goods, to take away from your neighbor so that you can have benefits. You see, you've already left God's kingdom. And you've taken the power that Christ gave you and gave it to somebody else. And you imagine that in doing this, that you're following God, when you're actually going in the opposite direction that Christ said to go. You're giving power to somebody else. Read the book Covenants of the Gods, and it shows you how you do that on a day-to-day basis. And repent. Turn around. Let's go the other way. And we're going to take a look at those words, and we're going to take a look at the rest of some of the things that Naomi says are the 10 steps to tyranny. And so that you can know, I'm not supposed to go that way. I'm supposed to go the other way. You know? And that's what we should be doing. We should be becoming the absolute opposite of what we see most of society doing. How do we do that? Well, we'll talk about how we do that when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. We'll be right back.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history. but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me, and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
For more information, contact us at hisholychurch.org or email us at radio@hisholychurch.org or write us at His Church, Boxed In, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about shift, and we're talking about the shift towards tyranny, because that's what Naomi Wolf was talking about when she listed off the 10 steps to tyranny. And one of them, the third one, was develop a thug caste. And Some people think that's like the police department, but the reality is the police, generally speaking, are as good as the rest of society. I mean, there are corrupt police officers and there's abuse of power. Every time you concentrate power, there will be abuse. And there could be a lot of improvement in the way in which police departments operate. But if they weren't there, you would have real chaos. Now, does that mean that I think that that's the solution? No. That's just where you're at right now. If you took that solution away, you know, people were complaining about the boy in Ferguson who was charging at the police officer, already tried to steal his gun away from him and beat up store people, you know, on camera. You know, he was a bully. And he was charging the police officer, according to black witnesses. And the police officer, this huge kid, which really wasn't a kid, he was pretty grown up, was charging him, and he shot back to stop him, charging a police officer. And, you know, there was a guy, oh, I forgot his name now, but he's been on Glenn Beck now and everything, but his little YouTube has made him famous. And he's a security guard somewhere, and he's black, so he got to say a lot of things a lot of other people wanted to say. And he's really popular, got a lot of hits on YouTube. But he was pointing out that he's ashamed of what he sees going on there. Well, that's true. But there are really great people there, too, protecting the businesses of other people who live in that community. The thugs are the people going around robbing and looting and burning down businesses. Those are the thugs. That's the army of thugs. Who created that thug caste? Socialism. This is what socialism does. People who are constantly playing the race card. It has nothing to do with race. Now, is there racism in the world today? Yeah, there always will be. Hey, get used to it. But the reality is that if you're beating up people and stealing in stores and pushing old men around, you're a thug. And the problem with America isn't the police. It's the fact that you need the police to stop that from happening. I remember once, I used to live in a black neighborhood, and I don't know why I call it a black neighborhood. I mean, half the people that lived in my building were white, so I mean, I guess I lived in a white neighborhood. But they called it a black neighborhood. It was just cheaper rent. That's why I lived there. And I saw a guy attacking a girl on the street in the middle of the night. She was just walking down the street, and this guy was, you know, and she was yelling at him, kicking at him and everything, you know, and I went out on the balcony and was going to yell, "Hey," and stop him, and she beat him up. She knocked him down and stomped on him, so I thought, well, I guess she doesn't need much help, but how many other people were willing to go out? I could tell you story after story after story of situations where people in a white neighborhood, a guy was grabbing a girl in broad daylight, out of going into the apartment complex where she lived, dragging her towards the open door of his car, going to pull her into that car, and she'd never seen him before at all. He just grabbed her, a young girl, going to college, San Fernando Valley State. And a friend of mine was walking down the sidewalk and was looking at all the people around. He could see people in the buildings, looking out their windows. He could see people on the street near their car. And this girl's just screaming away. And this is broad daylight. Nobody's doing anything. Nobody's coming to her aid. Nobody's saying, you know, no hue and cry whatsoever. You know, and this is back in 1960, 69. And he walked up to the guy didn't see him coming, and he was just walking out, and he was looking, and he said he was looking for cameras. You know, he's in San Fernando Valley, so he thinks that somebody's filming a movie. It doesn't seem real. And he walked up, and he tapped the guy on the shoulder just as he was dragging the girl in the car to ask him, "What are you doing?" And the guy turned around and was so shocked that somebody was actually doing something and stopping him. The presence of this guy just standing there. I mean, he thought, like, he didn't get it. He didn't know what it was. It didn't make any sense to him. Anyway, He taps on the guy's shoulder. The guy turns around and screams. He said he screamed like a girl almost. It was a high-pitched scream. He leaped into the car and sped away. And the girl threw her arms around my friend's legs and just hugged and bawled and cried. She was just collapsed on the sidewalk there. Broad daylight. Nobody came. There's the problem. It's thugs and cowards roam the land. So the problem isn't the police. And so it's, although the problem is sometimes manifested through them, but the problem is you. The problem is the people. You have to change. One man had the courage to stand up and say, what's going on here? Wanted to know the truth of what was going on there. He wasn't wielding a gun. He wasn't screaming and yelling or anything like that. He just said, what's going on here? I can tell you other stories about that guy. His presence seemed to drive evil away. He didn't know it. He was a man of God. You know, he was a nice guy, and he believed in God and all that stuff, but he was actually a man of God. And his presence drove evil away. Evil was afraid of him. And evil was manifesting itself through this guy on the public street, and everybody was frozen. Nobody was doing anything. Nobody was coming to her aid. Nobody was yelling out the window or anything. They were seeing it, and they weren't doing anything. There's the problem. There's your army of thugs. And it's created because you have a society that does not have to care for the needy and the widows and the orphans of its society. Because you don't have to do that, because you don't have to walk in that way, you have a society of thugs. Because in Ferguson, only a few people came to the aid of some of the businesses. Most people did not. If half of the people who actually said they were Christians were doing the Christian thing, tending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith, no businesses whatsoever in Ferguson would have burned down. If half the people claiming to be Christian were actually walking in the ways of Christ. Actually, I think you could have done it with 10%, but I'm being generous here. But anyway, next item, harass the citizens' groups. You know, that's like Internal Revenue Service audits, surveillance of them, just, you know, defaming them. Southern Poverty Law Center defaming anybody who tries to do things out of the norm. Number six, engage in arbitrary detention and release. Like I was saying, I've gone over some of these before in more detail, but, you know, my son was traveling to Texas and on a bus, and he was going down there to help somebody out on their farm so that they could actually get away from it for a while. And he's just traveling on a bus, and he's very gregarious, so he's talking to other people on the bus, and all of a sudden the bus stops, and somebody from Homeland Security, a big fat guy, he said he was almost as tall laying down as he would be standing up, gets on carrying an automatic weapon and wants to see everybody's ID. And there's other guys outside with automatic weapons. I mean, they're not looking for some murderer who escaped a local prison. They're just getting on a bus, stopping it, and going through and wants to see everybody's papers, please. I mean, that's crazy. We never used to do that. And the fact is there were some vets on there that my son was talking to, and they started getting together and they saying, we're not giving you any papers. We haven't done anything. You don't have any right to stop us and question us. You know, there's no manhunt going on. There's nobody that looks like these people that has escaped somewhere from a mental institution. They're just harassing citizens on the street, and it's gotten so that's okay. That's not okay. That's not the purpose of the police. And they got people who are not really police, not really trained the way, you know, to protect and to serve, out there harassing people with no, what's the word? Probable cause. They're just doing it. Like, they have the power to choose whether you keep going on the bus or not. They have the right to choose. They wouldn't understand a free society if it ran up and bit them. Anyway, engage in arbitrary detention and release. There you have it. And then also, I was mentioning that the worst place in a jail is the holding cell. Somebody who goes in there, he hasn't been convicted of a crime, hasn't done anything wrong, but that's the worst possible accommodations he'll see all the time that he's in jail. It should be just the reverse. If you're arrested, you haven't committed a crime, you should be treated as a guest. You should have the best accommodations, not the worst. Now, if you're out of hand and you're screaming and yelling and you're, you know, trying to bite the face off the cop, well, maybe you can have a cell to put them in that got a little less amenities because they need to chill out. But the average guy on the street gets arrested. He hadn't necessarily done anything wrong. Why are you punishing him? Target key individuals. And of course, they do that all the time. They'll prosecute somebody who's got their head sticking up in order to frighten everybody else. And they admit they do that. That's not justice. That's not the purpose of justice. That's not the purpose of law enforcement. It's not to punish. As a matter of fact, the purpose of the courts is not to punish, and that's another thing we talk about. The purpose of the courts is to protect you from people who want to bite your face off. But unfortunately, the fact is you're all biting each other's face off. You're all taking a bite out of one another because you've all become socialists. And even most of you who think you're not socialist, who think you're conservative, if you believe in public education, you're a socialist. Because public education is socialism. If you believe in health care and all these other things by the government, by men who exercise authority one over the other, then you're not only a socialist, you're not a Christian. Because you can't covet your neighbor's goods and tell me you're following Christ, that you're walking with the Holy Spirit. You can't be asking men who exercise authority one over the other to take away from your neighbor so that you can personally benefit. You can't do that and tell me that you're following Christ. Now, if you're doing that, I'm not going to pick on you about it. I'm just telling you that's not following Christ. You have to do something about changing your ways and going the other way. You have to be striving. You know, he knows you can't just jump into the kingdom. He knows you have to turn around and strive and seek. So that's what you need to be seeking. So that's why everybody should be a part of the Living Network. Because that's the purpose of the Living Network, is to bring people together who want to learn what it means to love your neighbor as yourself, as the early church did, which became the entire social welfare, of early Christians. And if you start doing that, you'll be reversing some of these processes that you see in Naomi Wolf's list of steps to tyranny. Control of the press, well, they've done that because they control education, and they control education because you're all socialists. Dissent equals treason. If you got a different opinion that other than, you know, what's politically acceptable, you must be treasonous because you don't have any place in you for the freedom of thought in other people. I have absolute willingness to let you have the power to choose what you want to think. Because I know that there's a law in the universe that if you don't think righteously, if you don't seek righteous thinking, God will punish you. I don't need a court to punish you. I don't need to have you arrested for what you think. I don't need to, you know, I will speak out, but my beliefs don't require that you believe them. You can believe that socialism is great. Go right ahead and think so. As for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Okay, suspend the rule of law. People don't even know what the rule of law is. So that's pretty well suspended. So anyway, what we really want to talk about today, and by the way, if you want to know why all power is given to God, to Christ, and how you turn around and give power to the men who think they are gods, small g gods, then read Covenants of the Gods. If you want to know more about Romans 13, you should read The Higher Liberty. You can read all the... You don't have to buy the books from me, you see, because I'm actually working for Christ. We don't charge for admission to the Sermon on the Mount. That's a Judas Iscariot kind of thing. So if I have discovered the truth by the grace of God, and I write it in a book, I'm going to make it so that it's available to you to read without me charging you a dime, because I'm a minister of Christ. I'm going to let you read that yourself. You can download it anywhere in the world for free. And it's there. It's going to cost you something. It may cost you your delusions. But I'm not going to charge you for it. I have to freely give what God has freely given to me. And because of that, he's given me more. Imagine. Amazing. But anyway, we're going to talk about Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to the world. That's what he says. But be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. What's repentance? Renewing of the mind. A changing of the mind. So, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what is the will of God? Is it the will of God that you give up your rights to others? No, not the will of God, that you give up your right to choose to others. You chose to elect Saul, and that was called a rejection of God. You chose that. That is your problem. That is your sin. That is your rejection of God. You chose to elect other men and give them the power to choose over you. So let's go back to Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's what we're looking for. Ministers who want to lay themselves down in the service of Christ to others in the performance of pure religion. And we will start training you up in what that looks like. The industry of what that looks like. And how to walk in the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of you are walking in the ways of unholy spirits, and you don't even know that. And we're going to get to that when we get into 2 Corinthians and some of these words like transform. And Paul goes on to say, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, I understand that a lot of things I'm saying seem to condemn you, because you're not doing what Christ said to do. Your churches are not practicing pure religion. As a matter of fact, your churches are specifically telling you to go to men who exercise authority one over the other to obtain your benefits of society. Even though Christ specifically said to you, it was not to be that way with you, like the other governments were doing at that time. They were setting up systems of corbins, of systems of sacrifice, where men who exercised authority one over the other compelled those sacrifices, not in free will offerings, but in forced offerings, legally forced offerings, because everybody signed up. If you sign up, you have to pay in. If your parents sign you up, you have to pay in. But Christ and John the Baptist before him were saying, no, you take care of these issues by charity. So churches should be becoming more and more charitable, and what they've been doing for the last 100 years, is becoming less and less charitable and leaving what they used to do by charity to the government to do by force. They have turned away and had a renewing of their minds by Satan himself, the adversary of Christ. Yet they call themselves Christians. They say they believe in Jesus. They just don't want to do what he said to do. And Christ talked about those, called them workers of iniquity. So here I come along and say, you guys are screwing up really bad. Really, 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 really bad. And I'm picking on you. But as many as I love, I rebuke. I'm telling you, you can do something about this. Gather together with others. Stop thinking about yourself so much. Stop being so darn selfish. And start giving up your life. And God will give you life more abundant. You got problems? That's what everybody says. Oh, I got problems. I got to go do this. I got to go do that. Christ talks about that. Oh, I got to go bury the dead. I got to go, let the dead bury the dead. They don't really want to come in the name of Christ. They think coming in the name of Christ is saying Yeshua or Jesus or something like that. Coming in the name of Christ is coming with the Spirit of Christ, walking in the Spirit of Christ, coming to lay down your life so that you can have life more abundant. If you want to be free, this is the only way to go. This is it. There is no other way to liberty. Absolutely no other way to liberty, in my humble opinion. I haven't been able to find it, and I've been looking for over half a century. So, if you think there's another way, great. But you better put it down into a capsulized sentence or two, because I'm not going to waste my time listening to it, because I have heard just about it all. I can't say I've heard it all, because I don't know, there may be some other crazy idea out there that I haven't heard yet. But we need to repent. We need to have a renewing of our mind and start realizing. If you don't realize you've been going the wrong way, how in the world, why in the world would you turn around and go the other way? So when you see that word conformed to the world, what's he talking about? What words is he using there in that context? Sushematizo is the Greek word that he uses as conformed, fashioned. That's what it means, fashion. You have to be fashioned by God's own Spirit working in you. How do you do that? What draws you near his hand as the potter to mold your clay? Sacrifice. That's why the word sacrifice in the Hebrew comes from the word draw near. What did he come to do? He came to sacrifice. He came to save others, not save himself. First requirement in the steps away from tyranny. Stop fearing that you're going to lose something and be willing to give something up. When he talks about conform to this world, he's not saying the word that we see meaning constitutional order or a system of government. He's actually saying the word that means age. But he does say transformed by the renewing of your mind. Metamorpho. Metamorphosis. That's where that comes from. And we're going to show you how this word is used over and over again in the Bible. It's also translated change and transform, transfigure. We're going to show you that next time on Keys to the Kingdom. And until then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.